Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode of Politics Without the Boring Bits is sponsored by BT, because BT means business. BT knows that businesses come in many shapes, sizes, and guises, from the person just starting out at their kitchen table to the biggest employer, which is why no matter what line of work you're in, they've got your back to help you succeed and do what you do best. No doubt connectivity is a must in Westminster, and it certainly helped us to get this episode created and distributed to you listening right now. BT already connects more than 1 million businesses and public sector organisations, offering secure and reliable connectivity. Nearly three quarters of people running a business or side hustle feel they couldn't do so without reliable broadband and mobile connectivity. That's why having connectivity you can count on is a must for business, whether it be facilitating multiple devices being connected at once or making team calls or guest Wi-Fi access for customers. BT's connectivity helps keep you and your customers happy. Whatever your business, BT's got your back. Search BT's got your back.
Hello, I'm Matt Chorley, and this is Politics Without the Boring Bits. Coming up today, we just tried to be helpful. What are Rishi Sunak's options? Michael Howard tells me that the Prime Minister's success could rest on getting the Rwanda bill through the House of Lords. And with lots of talk of a caretaker Prime Minister, I asked the man who was the caretaker manager of England not once but twice what it's like to cover for a bit. And of course, as it's Tuesday, we'll bring you a sneak preview of this week's How to Win an Election with Peter Manderson, Polly McKenzie and Danny Finkelstein. Today, talking about how to win with Taylor Swift and other celebrity endorsements. And if you like what you hear on the podcast, don't forget you can join me for Politics Without the Boring Bits on Times Radio, on your smart speaker, on your DAB radio, or download the Times Radio app. That's Politics Without the Boring Bits, weekdays from 10. Just a reminder that you can always listen to How to Win an Election every Tuesday with Peter Manderson, former New Labour mastermind, Polly McKenzie, who is Policy McKenzie for the Lib Dems in Downing Street, and Daniel Finkelstein, Times columnist, of course, former advisor to John Major and William Hague. This week, we were talking about the power of the celebrity endorsement and who might replace Rishi Sunak as the next Tory leader.
Hi, guys. Who would you put your smart money on to become the next Tory party leader? Suella Braverman, Kamu Badenoch, Priti Patel, or Ralph Garnett?
So that was a voice note from James in London. Danny, I suppose this is your party. We should start with you first. Who's your smart money on to be the next Tory leader?
It's really so. If I'm really smart with money, I'm not going to put my money on that. And it would all be, because I think all of it is quite long odds. I think it's very hard to make a judgment. So the first thing you have to work out, which of these people are going to keep their seat? So, for example, you know, a lot of people are speculating Penny Mordaunt might be a strong candidate. Well, she may or may not, depending whether or not she kept her seat. An awful lot will depend on things that are quite difficult to work out very near to the election, where who's up and who's down in the immediate response to the election, how the immediate days after the election go in terms of the argument. I don't think the Conservative Party has an immensely strong field. I don't personally think that it will be Suella Braverman. So I guess of those candidates, I would think the most likely of them would be Kamu Badenoch. But she clearly has, you know, as well as certain political abilities, without any question, a lot of questions about her ability to perform at the level a leader has to perform at, which is much higher than a cabinet minister in terms of temperament and ability to approach issues. But I guess in that list, the one that you gave me, she's likely. And then beyond that, it's very difficult to know who would be in the next parliament and who might be a candidate. You know, you can't ever in a leadership election rule out Michael Gove trying again, for example, if he's in the next parliament.
Polly, what do you think?
I think it's probably somebody who has really long odds at the moment. It is rarely the people you're talking about before the catastrophe that leads to, you know, the eviction of a leader happens. It just, the people who we're talking about now will have peaked too soon. So, and of course, there's always the, I guess the possibility still speculated around that the Conservative Party gets knocked down to 50 seats. Nigel Farage somehow joins and, you know, reverse takeover through something or other. But I'd like to hope that it would be a moderate, you know, whether that is Tom Tugendhat, I don't know, somebody more of my generation, Laura Trott, she's probably, you know, further away from it. That, you know, there are centrists and moderates still in this Conservative Party, and there will be this a real sort of crisis of direction for them, assuming that they lose the general election, at which point they will have to decide between the centre and the right. And I'm just going to hope.
I think given the realignment that's underway in the Conservative Party, they're definitely heading in the direction of Alf Garnett. But if you were faced in the Conservative Party by the women that you've identified, Matt, if this was the old Conservative Party, I think you'd have the, you know, the men in grey suits coming back and saying none of the above. Not because they're women. I mean, actually, the Conservative Party's got a much better grip on gender equality at the top of their party than my own party has. But because they would just see they don't have the capability, they don't have the appeal, they're not up to being leader of the party. And I think in those circumstances, they would look for a stopgap. Rather, as they did in 1963, when Macmillan stood down and they turned to the 14th Earl of Hume, Alec Hume, who they got out of the House of Lords to fight a by-election, to take over the leadership of the Conservative Party. I think the obvious candidate to do that now is David Cameron. I think they would turn to David Cameron, free up some seats that he could fight a by-election, leave the Lords, enter the Commons, and then he'd try and sort them out before, so as to give them a breathing space before somebody more appropriate could line up for the leadership further down the course. So my money's on Dave.
And if you want to listen to the full episode of How to Win an Election, just search for How to Win an Election wherever you're listening to this. But not before listening to What Options Does Rishi Sunak Have?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Big Thing.
We are absolutely united in delivering for the country.
We work well together. There are so many of us. We know that sometimes there'll be disagreements.
Whether colleagues are happy with him or not, it's too late, right? Get on with it, stand up, and at some stage this year, commit to engage in the general election and put our best case forward.
The Conservative Party's popularity fell before Rishi Sunak's did, so I wouldn't hold him personally responsible.
One big thing.
Yeah, not quite. That was Rishi Sunak, Kemi Badenoch, Ben Wallace and Jacob Rees-Mogg. Not sounding very much like one big happy Tory family. And away from the microphones, the mood is even gloomier and it has to be said more vicious, especially down in Westminster this week. The good news to the Prime Minister is that replacing him is hard, really hard. You need dozens of no-confidence letters to trigger a vote, and then you need 175 Tory MPs to vote against him, and it feels like we're a long way off that. People belatedly realising he might be leading them to defeat is not the same as the having any idea of what to do about it. And let's clutch at some straws now. The economy may be showing signs of turning around, and his hopes of getting flights to Rwanda off the ground before the summer are still alive, just about. So in our big thing today, we're going to look at what options Rishi Sunak has to turn things around, despite being 20, 25, 27, 28 points behind in the polls, and his party now just very publicly losing faith. Could he change his leadership style? Could he take on the right of his party? Or could the party really get rid of him, perhaps replacing him with a caretaker leader to see them into the election? Well, the next big challenge for Rishi Sunak comes tomorrow night when peers vote again on the safety of Rwanda bill. We're deep into ping pong as the legislation goes from the Commons and then to the Lords who change it, goes back to the Commons who change it back, then it goes back to the Lords. So it's in the Lords again tomorrow. Let's speak to one of those peers, Conservative peer, Lord Howard, Michael Howard, the former leader of the Conservative Party. Good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
What's on the subject, first of all, of Rwanda, which is clearly Rishi Sunak has put a lot of political capital by, what is your expectation when the Safety of Rwanda bill comes back to the Lords? Will Tory peers fall into line? Are your colleagues being bussed in from far and wide?
I don't think it's a question of Tory peers. And the number of Tory peers who are not in favour of the Rwanda bill is very small. It's a question of what the Conservative Party doesn't have anything like a majority in the House of Lords. So it's really a question of what Labour and the Liberal Democrats and the crossbenchers do. My view is that the role of the House of Lords is to give the House of Commons the opportunity to think again. They've done that. The House of Commons has thought again, has made it clear that as the elected chamber, it wants it to get its way and to pass the bill. And I hope that peers tomorrow will recognise that. But if not, if they send it back to the Commons, I expect that the next time it comes to the House of Lords, it will pass.
How strong is the connection between this legislation passing and planes taking off to Rwanda and anything that looks like a turnaround for Rishi Sunak? How important is it to his hopes of sort of getting back in the game?
Well, I think it's one factor. The Labour Party, in one of their many futile attempts to discredit him, used to describe him as weak, but it's absolutely clear that if he gets people on a plane to Rwanda, he's anything but weak. It has taken the most determined and ambitious pressure from him to do something in the face of incredible opposition in order to do something which is likely to deal with the problem of people crossing the channel on dangerous boat trips. Nobody else has the faintest idea of how to deal with that problem. He has put forward a difficult but ambitious plan to deal with that problem. He's seeing it through. I think it is a testimony to his leadership. Now, there are many other things which I think could turn the tide before the election. A recent poll showed that 45% of those asked, 45%, said they might change their vote between the time they were asked and the election. So I think there's absolutely everything to play for.
You talked about the Labour Party's attempts to discredit Rishi Sunak. Isn't part of the problem the attempts, the efforts, the extraordinary lengths that some of his Conservative colleagues have gone to discredit him, whether it's Suella Braverman and Robert Jenrick, it's Andrea Jenkins, it's, Lee Anderson until earlier this week, the man he made Deputy Party Chairman. What's your message to those people sounding off, on and off the record, suggesting that the solution to the Conservatives' problems is to change leader?
Well, hang on. I don't think it's at all right to say that Suella Braverman and Robert Jenrick have tried to discredit him. Suella Braverman was sacked. Robert Jenrick disagreed on the Rwanda bill and resigned. That's not discrediting the Prime Minister. My message to all Conservative colleagues is to support the Prime Minister, who I think is doing a remarkable job in very difficult circumstances, and to rally round, because we can win the next election. Opinion polls have leads have disappeared before. Theresa May started the 2019 election with a 20-point lead in the opinion polls, and it evaporated in 3 weeks of her campaign. So we've seen opinion polls change, and these can change. The Prime Minister deserves our support, and we can turn things round and win this election.
You famously helped stabilise the Tories after the Ian Duncan Smith years. You didn't win the election, but you brought on a new generation of talent, including David Cameron and George Osborne, who went on to obviously lead the party to success. You were described then as a caretaker leader. Does the Conservatives need another Michael Howard, another caretaker boss?
No, absolutely not. They've got in Rishi Sunak a far better qualified and a far more able leader than I ever was. I think we're lucky to have him. He's absolutely committed, a man of integrity and high intelligence, very conscientious, working extremely hard to deal with the real challenges that the country faces. Government's always difficult. It was difficult in my time. But we had nothing like the challenges that the current government has to deal with in the aftermath of the pandemic and the current war in Ukraine. I think he's doing a great job, and I urge my colleagues to rally round and support him.
Well, yesterday, Rishi Sunak himself said the government was united around his plan.
And that's why we're cutting people's taxes, £900 for a typical person in work. We're increasing the state pension by £900 in just a few weeks. We're in the middle of one of the biggest expansions of free childcare that our country's seen. We're getting the number of boats down by a third last year, tackling illegal migration and supporting small businesses. These are all the things that matter to people, and we are absolutely united in delivering for the country on these important matters.
As Rishi Sunak speaking yesterday. Right, let's bring in some close watchers of the Tory party to try and work out what is actually going on. Is it all froth and nonsense, or has something really changed in the last week or so? Katie Balls is the political editor at The Spectator. Hi, Katie.
Hello.
We've also got Kate Fall, Baroness Fall, former Deputy Chief of Staff for David Cameron in Number 10. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Matt.
And Sir Craig Oliver, former Downing Street Director of Communications, again for David Cameron. Hi, Craig.
Hello.
Katie, let's start with you then. You spend more of your time hanging about in the darker corners of Westminster than might be strictly healthy. What has changed in the last week? Because I think people looking from the outside will be slightly confused. The Tories have been 25 points behind for about 18 months. Why have Tory MPs only just noticed this?
Yeah, why has the penny dropped? I think what effectively happened was, back in the summer, there are about five set-piece events for Rishi Sunak to change things, to move the polls. Four came and went, the King's Speech, a reshuffle, an autumn statement, and so forth, little happening. Therefore, the spring budget, which happened the week before last, was seen as this big final moment. It had no bounce in the polls, so last week was always dangerous. And then you combine that with a racist donor row about, comments made by a donor. You combine that with the defection of Lee Anderson and a few other things thrown into the mix. And it all came to a head in a way that lots of Tory MPs started to give up hope and also started to blame some of that on Rishi Sunak's own personal judgment.
Fine. So that's the background to what's happened in the last week. Kate, you, Deputy Chief of Staff, you're in Downing Street, the good times and the bad, the highs and the lows, and always hoping that something would turn up. Clearly, the Conservatives were behind in the polls for a lot of that period when you were in Number 10, and then you went on and won a majority in 2015. What would be your advice to Rishi Sunak right now? If he's saying if you have to keep saying, we're really united, honestly, we're really, the whole party is very united. You've already lost half the battle, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, look, the falling polls and the economy still not really gathering momentum is the background to this sort of mass Tory panic. You know, they're all worried they're going to lose their seat. And the problem is you see number 10 having lost its confidence. And that is very difficult when we had this with the sort of omni shambles, as it were. It's not that you do everything wrong. It's just the perception that you do everything wrong when you're in a sort of downward spiral. And you see that with the donor row last week that Katie just mentioned. Instead of coming out and calling it out as it was, they just, you know, faffed around and then finally said, oh, this is racist. And then they were question mark about whether they give the money back, which they clearly had no intention of doing. So there's a sort of complete lack of momentum and a sense that the party is unraveling and panicking as they, you know, look at an election defeat coming their way soon.
And Craig, what's your reading of it? One of the striking things where Michael Howard a minute ago was saying, oh, you know, when the Labour Party's tried to discredit Rishi Sunak, they've called him weak. And I sort of thought, oh, I've completely forgotten sometimes the Labour Party criticised the Prime Minister. It's mainly normally people in his own party.
Yeah, I mean, it would be pretty surprising if the Labour Party weren't trying to discredit the Prime Minister. That's kind of what the job of the opposition is. I mean, I agree with Kate and Katie that, you know, the proximity of the next election, it's racing up towards people. And yes, there are people who fear that they are going to lose their seat and that kind of thing. But there's also a whole load of people who've just decided that they've had enough. And there's a whole load of people who think, well, I think I will win my seat, but I know or I'm pretty sure that this is going to end up in a catastrophic situation and are trying to ready themselves for the reality after that. And I think Rishi Sunak is just caught in the middle of all of that. He's in a situation where he's got to try and tell people, look, there's a positive picture. I do have grip on this. We are united. And in reality, it's not in the interests of everybody else to do that in the Conservative Party.
Let's look at this idea of a caretaker or a stopgap leader. Normally you'd have that maybe if you sort of go into opposition, and, you know, Michael Howard did it, replacing Ian Duncan Smith. So this was Peter Manson talking on How to Win an Election, saying there's a precedent for this.
They would look for a stopgap, rather as they did in 1963 when Macmillan stood down and they turned to the 14th Earl of Hume, Alec Hume, who they got out of the House of Lords to fight a by-election, to take over the leadership of the Conservative Party. I think the obvious candidate to do that now is David Cameron. I think they would turn to David Cameron, free up some seats that he could fight a by-election, leave the Lords, enter the Commons, and then he'd try and sort them out before, so as to give them a breathing space before somebody more appropriate could line up for the leadership further down the course. So my money's on date.
What do you think, Craig? Your old boss, David Cameron, could he come back and save the Tory party?
Well, look, I think that Peter Mandelson is being pretty mischievous there when he suggests that. I mean, it just wouldn't be tolerated for all sorts of reasons. I mean, the idea of bringing somebody out of the Lords, fighting a seat, winning, I mean, it doesn't really add up. But I do think it points to a bigger issue in the Conservative Party at the moment, that there's also an ideological issue here. There are a whole load of people who look very fondly towards reform and what they're saying and doing, and kind of wish that that was much more what the party was. And then there's a kind of last vestiges of the kind of liberal conservative wing of the party pulling in the opposite direction. So I think that's the other thing, is that Rishi Sunak's trying to span a divide which may not actually be sustainable in the long run.
And Katie, I mean, the problem with that idea is Craig says they're getting their heads turned by reform. How many of them actually believe the stuff that reform are doing? Are they just worried about the fact that reform are now on, what, 13, 14 points in the polls? Because David Cameron won those, won in 2010 and then that majority in 2015, actually by moving to the centre, or the liberal conservatism and the, you know, hugger hoodie and all that sort of stuff, was won from the centre. It wasn't by trying to ape Nigel Farage the whole time.
No, though he, of course, did call an EU referendum.
Oh, there is that small matter, yeah.
Which I do think helped bring some of those voters over. I think that clearly the higher reform go in the polls and the lower the Tories go, the more the reform threat grows and the more they grow worried about it. But I do think, to Craig's point, it does go back a bit to that realignment, that began in 2017 on a really small scale because the Tories did pretty awfully under Theresa May. But in 2019, and the sense that there are MPs in these seats that were formerly Labour for a very long time who did not believe this Cameroon liberal conservative type approach speaks to their voters. And they are the ones who tend to look at reform, tend to look at some of the elements of 2019, even though Boris Johnson, I think, is in some ways a liberal conservative. But they look at some of that messaging, the Vote Leave messaging, and they think this is where we need to go. And that's why I think partly it just happens in any large parliamentary party, but it's getting really much harder to keep that coalition together in terms of what different MPs think that their voter bases want.
What do you think then, Kate Fall? Your old boss David Cummins coming back to save the party as a caretaker?
I think that's unlikely. I mean, what I was about to say is I think actually Rishi is sort of the caretaker. If you think he's enough to Liz Truss and sort of stop the party completely unraveling. And, you know, Michael was a very good caretaker. I used to work for him as well. And I agree with what Craig and Katie have said about, I think one of the problems for the party at the moment is this save yourself mantra. The MPs are looking in different directions. Some of them have seats where they'd like David Cameron to come and help them get elected, and others wouldn't want David Cameron anywhere near their seat. They'd like the Boris sort of support. So that reflects a very different sort of selection of MPs looking in different directions, voting in different ways.
OK, here's a question then from you all. A word or a sentence, it should be quite easy. Is there anything that you think that Rishi Sunak could do to still be in number 10 after the general election? Any policy, any personnel changes, any presentational thing? Is there anything he could do to find himself back as Prime Minister after the election? Katie Balls, first of all.
Well, he could change the terms of prime ministers, of course. So there is no election anytime
soon. He could abolish the election. That's your best suggestion.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they're going to do that, though. I think all, as in, they do look in a complete hole right now. But effectively, Theresa May soared in the local elections and then lost the majority in the next one. So I think the best thing they can do is hope for some black swan event they have not thought of, and for Keir Starmer to have a disaster of some sort.
Craig?
I think that there's almost no chance that he's going to be prime minister in 2025. I do think what he needs to focus on is making it not as bad as it could be, and it really could get a lot worse. I was listening to Michael Howard, and I just do not understand this kind of collective delusion around Rwanda. This idea that somehow if a flight takes off, there's going to be a magical, huge bounce in the poll and everything's going to be fine. The reality is, this is a country where people are a bit fed up. They feel things don't work. They feel the economy's not on their side and there's a cost of living crisis. And they need somebody who feels like they're properly understanding those issues. I think the idea of just banging on and on and on about Rwanda and suddenly going to transform is just it's frankly delusional.
Right, come on then, Kate. It's all down to you now. Is there anything that Rishi Sunak can do?
So I think he's got to try and take the fight to Labour in a meaningful way. At the moment, no one knows what Labour really stand for. There's a sort of landslide to nowhere coming. And I know that's easier said than done because they're the focus, so much of the focus of government. But it's got to be, look, what are you getting with Keir Starmer? At least you know what you're getting with the Tories.
Well, there we are. And like you said, I mean, the fact that Theresa May is now the person people are looking towards, partly because she had a big poll lead in 2017, and that got whittled away during the election campaign, and also in 2019, you know, a terrible set of local elections, followed by securing a majority at the end of the year. There was a small matter of changing the party leader and proroguing Parliament and all of that. So we'll see. Katie Balls, political editor at The Spectator. Craig Oliver, former Downing Street Director of Communications for David Cameron. And Kate Fall, who was David Cameron's Deputy Chief of Staff. Thanks so much for taking us through your views on that. So if the answer is to bring in a caretaker leader, whether that be Penny Mordaunt, David Cameron or anyone else, how can they make it work? Howard Wilkinson was twice brought in to be the caretaker manager of the men's England football team in 1999 and again in 2000. So what does it take to be a good caretaker boss?
Well, I think you have to give a clear explanation of your understanding of the job, that you understand that you're not there forever and that you understand that that can bring problems. But you are of the belief, looking at them in the eye, that they can deal with that and respond as if you were there forever.
Yeah.
You've then got to be aware of, well, the two or three most important things I need, if I'm going to get anywhere with this, I need to get their respect as soon as possible. I need to demonstrate that I understand their difficulties, at the same time explaining mine. And then it's how quickly can you get their trust and their respect? Because all you know about me is what you've heard or what you've read or your opinion based on the teams I've managed or whatever. So you've got to demonstrate to them you recognise how difficult it is for them, but at the same time, without saying directly, point out that you've got the same problem.
Yeah. and how do you resist the temptation of thinking, because it happened to you, you know, twice, well, if I do a really good job here with the England team, they might just say, Howard, why don't you stay on for the next game and the next game? And before you know it, you've become the manager. You have to have the mindset.
I don't think you can't have thoughts like that which become clear to them. You can't afford to do that. You've got to, the job is more difficult for you than it is for them, because you've got to say to yourself, I'm going to do this job to the very best of my ability. And I think the bottom line is, you've got to say to yourself, and it's highly likely, even though I would like this job, that I'm not going to get it. So start off with a clean sheet of paper.
Yeah.
And then it's c'est la vie.
The other amazing stat I read, Howard, was that you're the last Englishman to win the men's top league in England. So you won the old First Division with Leeds United. How's that happened? Just the dominance of foreign managers in 30 years since. That's incredible.
Well, it is incredible, but it's also unfortunate if you are patriotic. But I think we've moved a long way since values like that were, as it were, important. What's important is that you turn up, forget this, your ego, because whether I'm here for 3 games or 30, I'm sure you'd rather win those 3 or those 30 than draw or lose them.
And that's ultimately the thing, isn't it? People want to win. Finally then, Howard, you've been caretaker manager of England not once, but twice. Do you fancy becoming caretaker prime minister, looking after the place until the election?
Having been the manager of England and the manager of clubs and so on and so forth, where you can actually on a daily basis see the members of the public, you can look them in the eye and tell them what you think. No.
If you've got any bright ideas for Rishi Sunak, do get in touch with the usual ways. You can email me, matt@times.radio, or WhatsApp. Send me a voice note. Let me know what you think. 033-003-2353. But for now, for me, Matt Jolly, it's goodbye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.